Good morning, Every Nation Church Penang. How's everybody doing? Yes, okay, so glad to see many of you here. All right, just to let you know that my second year Every Nation Seminary has kicked off the last 2 weeks. Okay, so coming week, okay, I'll be in Manila and go to meet Pastor Jojo and family and all the rest, all right? But you will be 9 to 5 kind of lecture. So let's see how it goes, all right? Pray for me, all right? Now, we have started a new series called Gospel Explained. Say with me, Gospel Explained. All right, now, pattern it in such a way there will be 4 blocks. Okay, the first block will be called Gospel Review, all right? So Gospel Review will be, we are going through chapter 1 to chapter 4, all right? For those who just join us, okay, just try to reorganize, okay, the slide for you to see, all right? Now, so in part 1, we talk about unashamed, all right? So Romans chapter 1, we also do into 2 parts, okay? Part 1, which is cover verse 1 to verse 17. Part 2 is verse 18 to 32, okay? Which have done the last 2, okay, weekends, all right? Now, so in a way, when we look at Romans verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to 17, okay, we cover on the salutation, which means Paul introduced himself, okay, that he is the servant, okay, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, he is called to be apostle and set apart. I hope every one of us able to also identify yourself. Okay, that is, are you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, are you called to be a prophet? I'm called to be a pastor. All right, and then set apart. So whatever they are doing, probably you're called to be a teacher, called to be an engineer, called to be a housewife, called to be a full-time housewife. Okay, full-time, whatever vocation they are in, are you able to set apart? Okay, for okay, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, all right? Then in part 2, unrighteousness, last week I talked about when you first time you hear about the wrath of God. Yes, we hear, oh, the gospel, good news, the love of God and all those, but the other part of God is, the attribute of God is also wrath. God also get angry, all right? So in what sense? Okay, over sins. So we'll talk about whether it's good news, bad news. Sometimes we think, oh, as you read the Bible, okay, you will read something about good news, something about bad news. So as you go along, wow, how come this good guy, but things that he has done, that's the beauty of the Bible. Okay, one thing about the Bible will be, it won't tell you all the good things, all right? So which, or it can be, or whoever want to come out with new religion will tell you all the good things. One thing of Bible is, it will tell you the good, bad, and ugly, all right? Okay, all individual. Why? Because we are not perfect people. Okay, we are dealing with, all of us are real people with real issues, okay, in our life. And when you look at the Bible, wow, something that you can relate and something that you can learn along, okay, with that. So we cover why the wrath of God is revealed, okay, how the people has willfully, okay, suppressed the truth, denied the Creator and turned to adultery and never honor God, all right? So with that, they have turned away from God. And what happened when they turned away from God? Okay, in the last part of verse 18:32, I talk about the 3 phrases that keep on repeating 3 times. And it just shocked me by listening to what Paul has written. God gave them up. Wow. Will God give up on us? You know, in that sense, when you try to expound, okay, a bit more. So sometimes you try to advise somebody. Sometimes you, even your own children, tell him 1 time, 2 time, 3 time. How many times have I told you? 100 times already. How many of you say that to your children before? Okay. Or you are the boss, you say it to your employee. How many times I must tell you that? All right, now you are almost wanting to give up, and probably the last thing you do is terminate. Okay, the whoever, okay, that is working with you. It's just the nature of human because of the sin nature. All right, and things that God has given that up because of their shameful lust, the moral impurity, dishonorable passion, and debased mind. All right, now, at the last verse 32 of chapter 1, which I'm going to continue in chapter 2 today, there is this last verse that says, though they know God's righteous decree. That means they know. It's not lack of knowledge, you know. They know. And what happened was that those who practice such things deserve to die. That means they know, and yet they do it, all right? Yet they sin and disobey God. And the verse continues to say, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. Then when they see something who did something wrong, yay, that's sheer, okay. And when you see something fighting, yeah, fight some more, give me a punch. That's how the entertainment work comes about, right? People enjoy people fighting. Don't you do that, okay? Watching movies and all those, all right? Good guy, bad guys fighting and all those. When you read that in verse 32, somehow you can imagine how society has become. They have reached a kind of right at the bottom. Wrongdoers are being praised publicly, and defenders, okay, while defenders of morality are being abused. Okay, sometimes when you look at that, society is totally upside down. Okay, when you look at government, you look at countries, and all various authorities all over the world. All right, somehow, if that were to continue, that will be a total social collapse or total moral depravity. All right, so continue from there. Today we're going to look at Romans chapter 2. So for Romans chapter 2, we're going to do two parts. Okay, verse 1 to 11, I'm going to cover today. And then verse 17 to 29, AJ will cover that. All right, so next week. So today we're going to talk about unrepentant. Say with me, unrepentant. I mean, a person that repent, but now is did not repent. Okay, so that's what it means. Okay, now, how we came about with that, okay, the verses I'm going to show you. All right, now, have you ever buy any fruits? Now, a lot of mangoes going around, right? Look so nice from the outside. But then when you bring home, when you cut, alamak, it's all black inside. How many of you have seen that, especially from the tip and to the seeds, right? It's all darkened. Now it's durian season, correct? Now, how many of you also, it looks sharp, you know? The durian looks sharp, it's sharp. Okay, anyway, it looks gorgeous, it looks sharp from the outside. When you take home, alamak, that is... How many of you experienced that? You know, a few years ago, okay, had to be a few years ago, I went to this durian store. So nice, so promising, you know. When you open up, there was big fat worm. You know, what was the next thing this durian seller did? No, he immediately took it and he ate it. I was there looking at him, I was like, then he said, this one is very good, oh, this one very good. He ate the best. he ate the best. So since the worm know how to choose for the best, this worm has eaten the best, so he ate it, so he had his best. Wow. Why am I telling you this? All right, so when we look at Romans chapter 2, Paul's going to talk about probably multitudes of people who choose to live life rebellious, okay, or disobedient against God. And when we look at that, they are held accountable and to face, okay, the fury of God's wrath, all right? Just as many others who are trusting, okay, even in their religion to live morally and all those, and yet outwardly they look upright, but internally or inwardly just as wicked as the evil is, all right? So which means when we look at that, religiosity, okay, creep into, okay, even belief system, church, and other religion as well. So we're going to read verse 1 to verse 3 first, that says, to verse 5. Therefore, you have, see how Paul has made a turn, all right, reading from chapter 1, okay, and now chapter 2. Therefore, you have no excuse, oh man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same thing. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such thing. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such thing and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Verse 4. Okay, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Then the verse 5, because I want to look for that word, unrepentant, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Let's pray. Father God, I commit, as we look at chapter 2 now and looking at how Paul writing to the Christian on the Roman church. Father, today I commit all of us into your hands. Father, Holy Spirit, come, teach us, guide us, even as we explore the book of Romans. And it's so rich, okay, in how Paul explained, okay, the gospel and to the situation that each and everyone have, and that gospel become the answer, okay, of what we are going through in our life. I give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. Now, remember when we do verse 1 to verse 17, chapter 1, and then when we go to verse 18, Paul took a 90-degree turn. Now, Paul, when it comes to chapter 2, he again took another 90-degree turn. All right? Now, why do I say that? Now, just now when we read here, I bold the word you. Can you see that? Okay, there's a purpose for me to do so because Paul, in this round, in Romans 1, Paul used the word them. Them. All right? He's talking about them. All right? Now, when it comes to Romans 2, it's about you. All right? Now, why is that so? As we read chapter 1, when Paul talk about all these people, you know, them, it's as though they are wrong, they are so evil. Wow, this one deserves punishment. God's wrath is upon them. Wow, yeah. As though we are so righteous. That's why in Romans 1, we talk about the unrighteous last week. And today, okay, we're going to talk about the unrepentant. All right. So why? Because we can live in such a stage that we can judge others that what they are doing is wrong and we are right. Everybody is wrong, and we, exception, we are the only one that's right. No, Paul is trying to address, okay, that issue. So in Romans 1, it's about the unrighteous man, but when it comes to Romans 2, from then and now, Paul addressed with this pronoun you, that is, he's dealing with what we call the self-righteous man. Don't turn to your neighbor left and right, because the enemy is not the unrighteous or self-righteous is not on the left, on the right, but the one sitting in the center. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, now let's move on. Okay, so with that, right? So I'm going to take this passage, verse 1 to verse 16, into two parts. Verse 1 to verse 5, I'm going to talk about no one has the right to judge others. How many of you like that? Then who to judge then? So the second part, we're going to look at only God has the right, okay, to judge others. All right? How many of you realize that every day we judge something? We say certain things about certain people, certain companies, certain things, many things, all right? Just like today, okay, many people received a memo and wear green. What's our first impression? I didn't say judge, nah, first impression. Oh, we have army group on top here. Okay, all right, praise the Lord. Okay, now, so as we talk about this passage, Paul talks about a most severe sin, okay, and that is the sin of self-righteous person. Because last week, we talked about the chapter 1, last part, is like sexual immorality, you know, addiction, perversion, you know, all those. Today, probably you hear like drugs. Today, drugs also you hear less. The addiction that we are hearing today is more on like social media and all those, all right, now. So the sin of self-righteous person. Now, let me say that everyone is guilty of this sin because of the sinful nature and the attitude. So-called, something inbuilt with us, the attitude inside of, we just want to judge somebody. Oh, this person wear like that. When we go to certain coffee shop, certain shop, we are sure got something to say, okay, about whichever that you are experiencing. No people, we also comment. Got people also, we comment. Okay, too many people, we say, oh, don't go, but it's very nice. No people, no good, you know. So we have no end, okay, to that. So regardless of who you are, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, Christian or non-Christian, we have this certain percentage inside us being a moral, self-righteous person. But Paul is saying, being so, you are just as guilty as the immoral person. You know, a moral, self-righteous person can be your neighbor, can someone who follow the law, okay, works very hard, love the family, okay, pay taxes, and better than anyone. But Paul, okay, is pointing out that a person like that is also as guilty as anyone because of the sin that, although the sin is different, but the guilt is the same. Because if we do not know who the Lord is or giving honor to God. The truth is this, we are all imperfect people. We all needed to repent and to be saved by the grace of God. Amen? All right, so with this, let's talk about number one, first part. No one has the right to judge others. I hope you agree with me. If not, then let's have coffee talk. Okay, now, right now. As much as Paul is writing to the Gentiles, he's also writing to the Jews themselves. Okay? Now, the key word, when we read verse 1 to verse 3 just now, is this key word, beside the you, is this word judge. Judges, judgment, judge, judgment, judge. So, it keep on repeating, all right? This judge. Now, looking at the origin word or the Greek word, is called krino. Okay, it means to pass judgment upon the lives and action of other people. An unfavorable judgment by criticizing, finding fault, and condemning them. It's not common, right? Or it's very common. Okay, now. Here does not mean, because I'm evaluating, I try to analyze. It's not. Okay, the word judge here in this context is that it literally means to condemn or to pass a verdict or the sentence. There was a statement that says that judging others is the favorite pastime of the self-righteous. Okay, that means every other people is bad. Okay, and you are the only one that is good. All right, so sometimes a self-righteous person, I'm not so bad. What? How many of you say this word before? When you break a law, or let's say speeding, all right? Speeding a highway, all right? So you see, your friend got ticket because, or got summoned because he drove at 160. Ooh, this one, okay now. Although you like Ferrari very much, I used to drive a Canary. But it's okay, because Canary can lari. Lari means can run. Huh? Okay, now. Whoa, he got a summon because he speed at 160. Let's say if I got summon because I drove at 120. I also got summon, right? So, sometimes for us as humans, I'm not so bad. What? I'm only 120, 160. But the truth is, both broke the law. Both got summon, okay? Both are also wrong. So, inside us have this self-righteous, okay, attitude inside us, all right? Sometimes that people nowadays like to drink, all right? So, you haven't taken a glass and you saw the other person on the side, you not even know them, they have 10 bottles on their table. And we have this kind of self-righteous, say, I'm not so bad, well, I drink one only, but they drink 10, you know, they drink 10. Pastor, you should persecute them, not me. Okay, all right. So we have this self-righteous girl. They can continue to give example and continue, you know, in our everyday life. But the truth is, whether it's a small sin or big sin, it is still a sin, all right. Now, so today as we look at it, Paul is saying, no one has the right to judge others, and only God has the right to judge others. So as we look it through at these few verses, Paul addressed a few characteristics, okay, of a self-righteous person. I hope you can identify them and also see what God wants to do, okay, in our own life right now. So number one, a self-righteous person, right, accuses others and excuses himself. Okay, those examples I gave to you. Okay, Romans 1 and 2 says, the song which we have read, therefore you have no excuse, O man. Some people say, oh man only, no woman. Okay, oh man, that means everybody, all right? Every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, that means we become the judge, judging others. Okay, practice the same thing. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such thing. So isn't it typical of a human nature that everyone's guilty but himself? All right, now. The word that can be used to explain this is the word hypocrisy, right? That means saying things about everybody, but own self also doing so, but don't see himself, that is wrong, all right? So, which means he come to a place, everyone is of no good, only you is the good one, okay, now. So, sometimes it also twists of word, okay, when they're caught of gossiping, I'm not gossiping, I'm just concerned only, okay, now.
Right? Sometimes you can be say certain things so negative. Oh no, 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 I'm not negative. I'm just being realistic. Okay, now. So sometimes when you look at a person, how come you so unreliable? Okay, you now show up on time, always late and all the. No, no, it's not that I'm reliable, I'm just flexible. Okay. So there are people we come with all kind of excuses, right? And one of the favorite joke is that when they are caught, okay, by the police, okay, because breaking the traffic light, and the police ask, "Ngapa? Why?" "Oh, because I didn't see you, ma." So we have all this. So the self-righteous person accuses others and excuses, okay, himself. All right. Now, the second characteristic is that a self-righteous thinks that judging others put him in a better position. Right? The son, I give you an example. He drink 10, man. I only drink one only. I'm better. Okay. Now, I cheat only one. He cheat 10 times, you know. I'm better. Okay. But still wrong. Okay. Now, so Paul saying this in verse 3, "Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God?" Paul is saying that if you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can escape? Eh? Okay, Paul is saying that right now. Now, some example will be young kids. When you look at it, I think about young kids do that the best. All of us who have parents who have young kids, or you were once, yeah. So I have three. Okay, now one of them will come and say, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, Coco, do this. Okay, how many of you have this? All right, so or you have like, "Oh, Cheche, do this. He eat more than this, and have no dinner time, but they already start eating." All right, why? Because you will put the person in the better position. Now, when young kids do all those, actually reflect on all of us as adults. Because we probably behave the same thing, but we couldn't see it, all right, now. So so when we look at young kids, they are the best, okay, to show us where we are, all right, now. When you think about that, you can imagine, okay, how, okay, when talking about the young kids, I say that you can imagine how the older ones will think, "Whoa, this one, too much." So you can see the strife, okay, the conflict, okay, will take place even in the family, okay, itself, all right, now. So I hope that will be somehow, okay, a wake-up call, okay, for us. It's not that someone who has a higher summon, okay, than we ourselves, okay, doesn't make ourselves better, okay, position, all right, now. Being the self-righteous make us our sin even worse, okay, than it should be, all right, now. It was said that, okay, all of us know when we are young, okay, when we try to judge somebody, okay, or say something about some people, all right, so we're pointing finger, yes. So we always, when we try to defend that, when the other person try to defend it, "Well, when you point finger at me, do you know three fingers point something back at you?" True, right? So I hope that simple, while we're growing up with this illustration, help us, okay, when we say things or judge others that we are not caught, okay, in that position, right? Now, we all that said, right, when later we talk about only God could judge, okay, we all that we say, human and all those, okay, God will not be fooled, okay, by all the way that we say and trying to hide, okay, from each other or hide from God. Let me see, do I have this? Okay, John 8:37, okay, God is the best, okay, when it comes to judging. Okay, John 8, now, there was a story of the adulterer, okay, the scribes and the Pharisees, okay, who dragged the adulterer woman, okay, and pointed to Jesus. "Jesus, or teacher, all right, this woman, okay, we caught the law, according to the law, Moses said, must stone this woman. What do you say, Jesus?" All right, we all remember that Jesus was that at that moment he was standing and he stooped down and he write something on the sand and then stood up and he said this: "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." So in other words, it helps us to process a bit, okay, in our journey, okay, where are we as a self-righteous person?
Okay, what are the things that we need to change? What are the things that we need to ask God, okay, for help? Now, you're talking about sin, as we talk about a self-righteous person that judge others, okay, put himself in a better position. You know, sometimes we try to hide, okay, a lot of things, okay, from God or from others. But there's a scripture, okay, that says this, all right, in Numbers 32, verse 23. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. Be sure, your sins will find you out. And that is a terrible warning. I mean, it's a good warning, but it's terrible in the sense that if you have sinned against God in certain years of your life, it will surface. When I was doing a no apologies workshop as a facilitator, I said that the people who fall into sexual immorality, because no apologies workshop is such that teaching young people not to have premarital sex. Then we teach about character-based. It's a character-based workshop. The same time, okay, telling young people all the consequences. So talking about STD, okay, now. Some of these STD, that it will not surface even in 10 years. So as young as a teenage is, and when they got married, probably what, 15 years later? Right, let's say teenage, 15 years old. 10 years later, 25. Maybe got married. Okay, now, when I maybe have children, maybe at age 30, let's say. Huh? And then, if we, even with that keeping their life right, when a baby, both tested without, but the baby has STD, where does it come from? Well, the whole family and relationship, okay, will be at, don't know which rock, right? It'll be rocking. Now, this is very true. Has been the proven, okay, not say proven, okay, in the medical science has so far, where this STD has been dormant, okay, for 10, 15 years, but it surfaced after that, all right? So, this verse, okay, is a warning to us right now. Number three, self-righteous person misinterpret God's blessing in his life. All right, now, have you ever, like, pay, you go to the cashier, okay, so, have you experienced, I mean, probably if many of your workers will say, ayo, supervisor, officer, or whatever, I will give money, overchange, okay, for people. So sometimes it's like this, okay, so you buy something which is, you pay with 10 ringgit, you're supposed to get your change 5 ringgit, but the cashier gives you 50 ringgit instead, so you go back, wow, he gave me, supposed to give me 5 ringgit, but now give me 50 ringgit, I got extra 45 ringgit, thank you Jesus, God's blessing. Is it right or wrong? Of course it's wrong, right? Okay, so, we should be, hey, you have given me wrong change. You should be giving me 5 ringgit, not 50 ringgit. Okay, who suffer? Yes, we may be thinking blessing, but poor cashier, he has to pay the 45 ringgit. Okay, what is he or she going to take home at the end of the day? All right, so I'm saying that a self-righteous misinterpret God's blessing, okay, in his life. Look at this verse. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is so meant to lead you to repentance? Right? So many people presume, okay, God's riches and kindness, patience especially. All right? God can forgive one. God has a lot of grace, abundant grace, can forgive one and all those. So in that sense, people have taken God's abundant grace for granted. Although, okay, God is full of mercy, full of grace, full of forgiveness, okay, and so therefore, I no need to repent. Right or wrong? Of course, wrong, okay, now. So the attitude of everything, sometimes the attitude that when you see that everything going so well, oh, God must be with me. Right? But it may not be, all right, now. Although a self-righteous person thinks he deserves everything, but that not doesn't mean that it's, everything is God's blessing, all right, so you got to watch out for that. So with this, Paul is saying that, hey guys, you are missing the point. When you have, when God gives you riches, when God gives you kindness, forbearance, patience, and all that is to lead you to repentance. That is the goal, all right? So
Okay, which means, okay, when we think about all those, let us not forget, okay, the purpose of God's goodness and kindness upon our life. The very purpose is to lead us to repentance. Okay, good, amen? All right, now, talking about patience a bit. Nah? Now, how far can you think God's patience? How far? No, there's another word. How do you categorize patience? Okay, how? Okay, never mind. Okay, God's patience, right? Now, God's patience, okay, God is patient not because he is blind, all right, that he couldn't see any one of us doing the wrong thing or sin and all those, all right, now. Because how blind it can be, how stubborn we can be, or how foolish it can be, sometimes when you think of, hey, God didn't punish me, ma. So God's blindness doesn't mean, okay, that he's forgiving you, right? God's patience in that sense doesn't mean that he's very pleased, right? Now, God's patience is such a way, when you look at it, God's kindness, forbearance, and patience, he's allowing you, he's giving you extra time. Okay, God is giving us that extra time, that extra grace to see whether we come to a place of repentance. Okay, God's kindness is meant to lead us to, okay, repentance. All right, now, 2 Peter 3:9. Many people have said that, you all say Jesus coming back year 2000 because Jesus may go up to heaven and say peace unto you. Some people say, hey, year 2000. Okay, so many of this, until come to a place, you don't know whether God, Jesus is really coming back. Now, 2 Peter 3:9 states it very well. Peter is saying that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. That means patient towards all of us, okay? Not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance, okay? It's not that God wants to punish you now. God is just being patient, all right? How many of you like God to pour his wrath now? We have no place here at all, right? Now, how many of you, when you think about your, let's say those in school, how many of you have a principal that is so fierce? When mention of the name, oh, okay. How many of you have a very strict, okay, father or mother, all right? If they were to pour their wrath, okay, now, you don't know what will happen. Now, William Barclay, one of the theologians that says, the mercy and love of God are not meant to make us feel that we can sin and get away with it, all right? Because there are people who believe like that, all right? They are meant to break our hearts that we will seek never to sin again. Shall I read again? Okay, now. The mercy and love of God are not meant to make us feel that we can sin and get away with it. They are meant to break our hearts that we will seek never to sin again. Okay, so let's move to number two. So no one has the right, okay, to judge others, but then who? It's only God has the right, okay, to judge. So we're going to explore verse 6 to 16, which is how, what, and when. All right, now, how will God judge? So I look at verse 2. Verse 2 says that it's based on the truth. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on the truth. Second one, verse 11, for God shows no partiality. You know, for man or human, okay, our understanding normally is incomplete. Sometimes when you look at the court case, drag and drag and drag because they don't have everything. But God knows everything. Many of our human judgment is just superficial because we do not know everything. But God will judge people truthfully. And when God judge, it's not just a hearsay. For us, many times, it's just this one say this one say this, that one say this, right? So that's why you need a good judge. Okay, good judge. Now, God will judge impartially, okay, no partiality. Sometimes, right, when you look at our system of the world, because I know you, people get away, okay, with whatever wrongdoing. How come they won't get away? Because if friend, my member, okay, let go. And especially, it means those people who know somebody in the ranking, in the hierarchy, okay, maybe because they have finance to pay certain things, all right, and those who are poor and unknown and all those, normally, okay, suffer, okay, through that. But God will judge impartiality. All right, now, what will we be judged? So according to these three things, right? Now, that is all in the letter C, number one, okay, conduct, conscience, and character. Okay, based on that, okay, there are many areas, but looking at what we're going to look at here, conduct, conscience, and character. Conduct is the way we act, how we live, and what our deeds be, all right? Now, so when you look at conduct, we look at this verse 6 to 10, he will render to each one according to his work. So when God judge, what are you doing? Okay, what are your deeds? What are your conduct? To those who, by patience in well-doing, seek glory and honor in immortality, he will give eternal life. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the first, the Jew first, and also the Greek, for God shows no partiality. So, with that written, God will judge, okay, according to what we have done, not according to what you intended to do. We have a lot of intentions. Everybody got a lot of intention. But God will not going to judge, oh, I want to do, ma, but I didn't have time. That means didn't do, law. I want to be kind. But it's just intention, ma, but the kindness was never shown. So, God will judge according to what you have done, not because of the good intention, okay, that a person has. Okay, so with that, in other words, when you look at what God is going to judge according to what a person have done, this one got a lot to do, okay, with your personal accountability. Okay, how you accountable, okay, to yourself, because God is not going to judge you because according to what other people have done. I didn't do this because my father like that, or my mother like that, my brother, sister like that. So God is not going to judge because what the others, but how do you respond to it? What do you do? So this one got to do a lot. What I mean is the personal accountability. So it's not about doing good works or doing something by your self-effort in a sense to earn your way to heaven. No, as well. But how do you respond and how? What is the work that you have done as far as personal accountability concerned? All right. Now, the next verse. All right. Now, John 25:28-29. But I just put it 27, 28, 29. All right. Now, okay. Now, when talking about what work that you have done, now there was a debate at John 6, okay, between the disciples. And then Jesus said this, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the God the Father has set his seal. Then they said, what must I do? What must we do to be doing the works of God? Because God is saying, render what you have done, the works that you have done. Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent. So, when you think about the work that you have done, the primary is about whether your work of believing, okay, in Christ Jesus. So with that, you also will understand that you don't get to heaven because you've been good, you've been doing good works, you are doing such a perfect work, because all of us are not perfect, but the work is about whether you're believing, okay, in Christ Jesus. The second one, conscience. You will judge according to conscience. Conscience is a person's moral sense of right and wrong. Right? Conscience. Now, let's look at this passage, 12 to 15. Let me read that. Okay, now, time is catching up. Huh? For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. Now, this passage is probably a bit challenging to understand, huh? But let me unpack it for you. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Are you with me right now? And when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, and they are law to themselves, even though they do not have the law, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bear witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse and even excuse them. Okay, now, here is talking about Paul when he's writing to the Jews and the Gentiles right now. So when he's writing to the Jews, Jews has the law. So if they have the law, they will be judged according to the law, because they knew the law. If they knew the law, the question is, do they follow? Now, then to the non-Jews, they don't have the law. So if they don't have the law, so they're not going to judge by the law. You get it? All right? So if you don't get your law, then will they be judged? Yes, because God has also deposited inside each and everyone what we call conscience. Conscience is where you know what is right and wrong. All right. So in other words, at the end of the day, whether you have the law or you don't have the law, everybody will be judged. And only God, okay, has the right, okay, to judge. You get me now? All right, now, Maurice, okay, another theologian say, people will be condemned not because they have the law or do not have the law, but because they have sinned. So if you have the law, so having the law doesn't qualify you to go to heaven. Because you having the law, do you follow or not? Do you obey? All right? Likewise, okay, now, to those who don't have the law, you have conscience. Do you respond to your conscience, okay, of what's right, okay, is wrong, all right, now. About the next one, you'll be judged on character. Now, when will this judgment will be? It's on that day. The day is the day of judgment, the wrath of God. When, according to my gospel, God will judge the secret of man by Christ Jesus. Okay, a little bit about character. How many of you realize that character is about why you do what you do? It's your believing. Your behavior determines by your belief. Remember, we touched that on Apostle Creed, right? Now, character is who you are in the dark when no one sees what you do. That's who you are. When you say a person is kind, yeah, la, in front kind. But when the home, is this person the same person? Is he as kind as outside and inside? All right, so character is who you are in the dark when no one sees what you do. Reputation is what people say about you. That means what you do in public, what people see you. But character is what God says about you when nobody sees you, only God sees you, right? Now, character takes years to build. But else, reputation is built in a very short period. So if somebody get reputation, wow, this one is who, this person is very good in a short period. But character is who you are internally. But reputation is how the society sees you externally. All right? Okay, huh? Now, talking about when the sound is said, is on that day, on the rough day, the judgment day. All right? Now, back to this verse, okay, the word unrepentant comes in. When and what are you storing? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Okay, I'm closing already. All right, now. So this part, I want to end with this. So Paul used, for a person who's stubborn and repentant, that means not willing to repent, he's storing up something. When I look at the Bible, two storing. One, you can store the wrath of God. That means you continue to disobey God. Then you keep on storing the wrath of God. But we still have another choice. The other choice is to store up treasure in heaven. So you can read that in Matthew 6. Okay, so we have a choice for us, whether you want to store wrath of God, okay, or treasure in heaven, all right, now. So by saying so looking at this, the day will come for all of us, whether we believe in Jesus or not, in that sense, everybody, okay, we will need to give an account of ourselves on the throne of God, all right? So which means the day come, will you see Jesus as the judge or you see Jesus as your savior? Right? Now, talking about the day. Now, I don't know about you, okay? Yes, I'm going to meet my savior. But if you do not know your savior, then you're going to meet God as the judge. Correct? Yes? Now, if you meet Jesus as savior, I don't know how you feel at the end of the day. Don't you think it's going to be an awesome day? I'm going to meet Jesus. And I'm going to give my account. When Jesus is going to give account, that means of everything that you say and do. And I think it will be an awesome day when you go up and tell Jesus what you have done and the work you have done, how you believe him, how you have win the loss, how you have brought the gospel, because Paul is talking about the gospel. Or you're so fearful because you're going to meet the judge. Have you been to the court and meet the judge? It can be a very scary moment if it's your first time, all right now. So when you meet the judge, you may be condemned, and your sins that was hidden for the last 10, 20 years can be against you. Or you're going to meet the Savior because you're forgiven and you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Okay, good, amen. All right? So which means all of us, Paul is writing, all of we have to settle the issue. Whether you meet Jesus, you meet your Savior here, now, then at the end of the day, you'll meet Jesus. If you don't meet your Savior here, you do not recognize your Savior here, that means on that day, you're going to meet judge. Today, if you, on earth, you meet Jesus as your Savior, you know your sins are forgiven, and if you do not do so, and you only come to the judgment day, and you meet the judge, you might be just too late. So that's where in John 3:16, we quote that all the time. None of us quote, not many of us will quote verse 17, because quote 17 is a powerful verse that says, God did not send His Son, that is Jesus, into the world to condemn. Because Jesus at this time is not to condemn the world. He came, in order that the world might be saved through Him. And good, amen? All right. You're all learning something today? All right, okay. I hope it's not too deep for you. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I commit all of us into Your hands. Father, even as we now enter chapter 2, and it seems like there's so much, Lord, to learn and to understand and how the gospel is being explained, in the detailed manner. Father, today I commit all of us into Your hands. Father, that as we understand what it means, Jesus as a Savior and Jesus as the judge, Father, help us, Lord, to embrace You. When you look at what Paul is saying, whether the law or no law, but it's not about whether we have the law or no law, but we have the law, we follow. Even we have not have the law, there's a conscience that has been deposited in each and every one of us. Father, help us, Lord. Guide us, Lord, even as we bring the gospel even to others. Father, today I commit all of us into Your hands. Always honoring You, live a life so honor You. Make disciples. So I have questions that for all of us, as you go, on that day, you think about it, and probably discuss in your life group this week. Are you okay to say on that day, that means when you meet God, are we able to say, my conduct is sinless, my conscience is perfectly clear, and my character is spotless? If not, we better do something about it while we're still alive, all right? The other question is, on that day, are you okay to meet your Maker? Are you meeting Him as your Savior or as judge? So I leave it with you. You learn something. God bless you.